What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about the average flawed dad learning to be a better parent. Today, we're going to be talking to Darcy Michael, comedian, actor, all-around incredibly hilarious guy. We talk about what it's like to raise a kid in a two-father household. We talk about raising teenage daughters. We discuss what it's like to be TikTok and Instagram famous, and how his comedy affects his relationship with his daughter. This is a really good episode, and we laugh a lot throughout the entire thing, so make sure to stick around. Stick around and listen as a couple flawed dads figure out how not to screw up our kids too bad.
Hey, Darcy.
Yo.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing really well.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked. I feel like I could just be shouting out my window. We're so close.
It's weird. It's so weird. As I talked a little bit before this, when Warren was just running around, how bizarre it is to talk to someone knowing that they are actually so close. It's surreal.
You guys are the closest podcast guest I've had as well, like in a year and a half. So it's kind of weird. It's a little like, are we being lazy? We probably could have just done this in a park somewhere.
That's right.
Probably could have. But then we have all the noise.
Yes, we are lazy.
Oh, yeah. I'm not leaving my house. Oh, yeah. No. We went out for dinner downtown the other night, and I was so mad I couldn't lay down and sleep for three hours afterwards.
This is exhausting.
Like, it was like, there's no couch. What the fuck?
Pants with a button?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, believe me, that was already an argument before we even
went down. Jared wouldn't let you go out in the sweatpants?
No. He was like, come on, let's put a little effort in. No sweatpants, no play suit, no moo-moo.
So that was the first dinner you've been out for in a while?
Yeah, I'm celiac and with rheumatoid arthritis, so I have autoimmune issues. So I'm already, I don't go out for dinner often. So we went to like a gluten-free restaurant because I was like, yeah, you know what, it'd be nice to like just not eat at home for once.
It's not exactly the same. My wife has Crohn's disease.
Oh,
so she avoids.
Crohn's is way less predictable.
There's so many things that are off the table for her to eat and things like that. And I can echo the reason why you're like, go out. Like, it's just, I don't want this. I can't have this. It's
like, and then you're just like, and you're trusting someone to not know, know about cross contamination. Yeah, it's not the greatest. But whatever, it's my cross to bear, boys.
And but you enjoyed it, like you enjoyed getting back out again.
Not at all. No. I have had the best year.
Your personality, is what you're saying?
I used to travel all the time, so to just have an excuse to slam on the brakes, hang out with my dog at the beach, and not have to see any of my in-laws, you know, I miss seeing my friends sometimes, but we Zoom and whatever. Yeah. And I'm busier now than I've ever been in my life. So, I didn't enjoy going out at all.
Understandably.
It's a weird scenario. Sorry. I know I've talked to some other people actually face to face, and I've noticed after I'm really enjoying this face of it. Like, I appreciate it that much more because it's such a bizarre thing at this point in time.
For sure. You know, like even just having our daughter being able to come over again is game changing. Like, we've seen her more in the last 5 days than we've seen her in 6 months. So that part was, there is nice things to it, but I find it draining.
So
I'm gonna ease into it.
You got to take a couple steps to get back
there.
So tell us a little bit about your family, parenthood, that sort of thing.
I am married to Jer. We've been married for 17 years.
Wow.
17 years next month. 2004. Am I doing the math right? Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, fuck.
It was before June, that's 17.
Yeah, you better not screw this up. So we've been together 18 and a half years in total. And Jer has a biological daughter, Grace, who is three and a half when we met. So her mom lives 5 minutes down the road. And the three of us co-parented Grace. She lived with Heather until she was about 11 and then moved in with us until, well, now she's just like a boomerang child. She's gone and back and gone and back.
Yeah.
But she'll be 23 in August, which is wild. That's amazing. Feel so old. Yeah.
Time passes by, yeah.
Right?
I feel like we have to lean on your experience then, because so my oldest is 10 and Graham's oldest is 6. So we're still, we haven't you gotten guys, into the teenage years yet.
Believe it or not, you guys are, and I'm sorry to tell you, you're still in the honeymoon phase. No matter what you think, all that shit you've already gone through, that's the good stuff. Oh, the pain is coming, boys. The pain is coming, and it is never ending.
it's nice to have perspective. That's yeah.
Jared and I love being like, I'm 41, he's 42, and we're done. And we see all of our friends that are the same age or around our age that are just in the middle, and we're like, oh. We can sit back and enjoy all these stories now because enough time's passed that it's funny. Because, you guys, I mean, it's going to be a ton of fun. You're going to.
No, but seriously, it'll be great. Don't worry. You'll love it. Yeah, well, and we have no, as far as a daughter, et cetera, because, you know, from the podcast perspective, we have no perspective other than our own experiences about the male. Like raising,
yeah.
Because it's all just girls on our side, so it is what it is. I'm curious about, I guess there's a couple of questions just about the parenting side of things. Having someone come into your life at 3.5, what the experience was there, and even just the moving in, because it sounds like there's almost two phases where 3.5 still introduced, but then living with you at 11.
Yeah,
as well is probably too.
Well, and it was 11 or 12. Jared's gonna get so mad at me when I fuck this up. But if you know who I am, you know I don't have good memory. So you're just gonna have to fill in some of these blanks yourself. We were babies raising a baby. There is no other way to describe it. I was 22. I moved out of my parents' house into Jared's apartment. There was such a huge learning curve for all of us. I didn't meet Grace for 6 months while we were dating, because I was like, we both agreed we wanted to ease into it. It was great. I always say I got to fall in love with two people. I got to fall in love with Jer and Grace, and Grace is just female Jer. Like, it is uncanny. Okay. I can predict the two of them to a T. It's joyful to watch them grow up together as well. Jer becoming a man, Grace becoming a woman, 18 years apart. That's close. And then when Grace started living with us, it just kind of was natural. It was a natural progression. We had her every weekend from the time Jer and I were together, was every weekend and we'd go on trips together and have a few weeks together here and there and stuff. So for us, it was kind of really great timing. And then I was gone for 6 months a year for 3 years because I was in Toronto filming. And so the two of them just were monsters together. Like, I would come home every few weeks and I'd go and get groceries, and the cashier would look at me and be like, oh, they've been eating horrible. Like, please, thank you for bringing vegetables. Because Jer shops like he's Willy Wonka, because he never did that as a kid. Like, his mom always did the groceries. He never had a say. So when he goes, he's like, even to this day, if he comes grocery shopping with me, I roll my eyes because he has to look at every fucking item and look at it because he hasn't seen it. And like, oh, what's this new product? I'm like,
It's flour.
Yeah, it's flour. We can't have it. Like, just leave it alone. I'm allergic. That's
right. Well, you did a piece on him at 7-Eleven and buying $78 worth of food at 7-Eleven.
Oh, you've done your research. He's made me promise not to put that one on TikTok.
Podcasting,
podcasting, whatever. It's still it's in my special, so the real fans know that story. He fucking just, we can throw down if we need to. To his defense, now that Grace is an adult, like we're 10 years later, she now tells us we live like two 12-year-old boys whose moms left them for the weekend because we just eat junk food and play video games. Like, especially for the pandemic, we were both just like, well, I guess we're going to have the best time of our life between us.
For this 1 year that we're going to be stuck at home, might as well take advantage of it.
Right.
And so when you were dealing with kind of co-parenting Grace, on a more serious note, how did you deal with things like discipline and that kind of stuff? Like, was it you took a step back or did you jump in? Or
no, I was always involved. I would always default to Jer and Heather when it needed to be. Like when I was like, well, this is more of a you guys. But I think it was, if anything, I was probably harder than Jer was, like,
right.
Just because, you know, I was not like, I was raised strict, but I didn't fucking look at how that turned out. I would say, like, we didn't need to discipline her a lot. Like, we were really lucky. Like, she's a pretty chill kid. Even like now, like, we just hanging out with her is fun because we just get along so well. Like, there was definitely, you know, the teenage years, like I've said, less than ideal, you know. And it, like, especially when you also, you know, equate the fact that we were so young, you know, like Grace is going through puberty when we're 30. Like, what the fuck do I know at 30? I'm 41. I still don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, like, I'm an overweight bald man that has somehow become an influencer on a children's app. I have no idea what I'm doing.
And
how do you feel about that? Like, the popularity that you've gained on TikTok, you know, a children's app sort of thing. Do you feel a responsibility to put out stuff that's educational, or do you just take your comedy, cut it into bits, and go, I'm just going to enjoy the ride?
We definitely are more aware of the reach we have now and try to take that into consideration. Like, our people are listening, you know. And my parents always told me, if you have a platform, if you have people's attention, make sure you're aware of what you're saying. Because, you know, like, even before this, when I was, you know, like filming my stand-up special or touring with Russell, like, you're in big audiences and stuff, so you have to be aware of it. I think now I definitely care what I'm putting out, but I also see, like, the TikTok stats show me, I know my audience, I know their age, I know, like, the, you know, like, where the demographic and stuff. This, it's a little wild now because we're just like worldwide. It's weird, that part. I just look, we look at it going, A, like, is it funny? And is it, you know, like, is there a message or whatever? Like, I think a lot of the time it's accidental, you know. sometimes, you know, like, especially when Jared's doing like a montage of my ADHD madness, like, that's just like, oh, well, well played, you know, you collected that footage, that's really great, like, damn you, you know.
Or your plants.
Oh, fuck, my plants are, they're doing great. They're,
the plant store must love you.
Just they, they're big fans. They definitely, they definitely light up a little bit. I go to Sunnyside and Harris, and I'm like, we don't have a huge property or anything, but it's full. I was actually, because now that this room is becoming my podcast studio, was telling Jer, like, I, you know, like, I need a plant budget because there's like one fucking plant behind it, and then a dead one.
How is, just back to the TikTok a little bit, with regards to Grace, does she have any misgivings or thoughts about that?
Oh yeah. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Listen, we all support each other no matter what. But I think at first she was fucking mortified. At first, like I just posted stand-up clips. Like there's 5 or 6 videos that were just stand-up. And that she's like, yeah, of course, makes sense. That's what you do. And then like we started just doing videos and she was like, what the fuck? And then when we hit 100,000, she was like, just like, oh, this is awful. but I think she's I think it's reverted now. I think it's reverted because I think one of the like Busy Donkey blowing up really made her heart swell because it's such a like it's our song, like it's the three of us and our friend Diana, and so for that I think started like kind of the foundation of okay, like maybe my weird dads are actually interesting to people that don't know my weird dads, but to her it's just you're just being you and letting people see it, right. And then she was here when we hit 1 million. It was such a fluke. It was the night Jer and I went for dinner. She came to check in on the dogs and we came home early, and so the three of us were walking by Il Posto, and we pulled our phone out and hit refresh and we had hit 1 million and we're like, what? So she came back to the house and she did a live with us. We went on live and she told a story. This I've been actually saving this to tell you guys back to
fantastic.
I can talk about something we fucked up so bad. Grace is 8 or 9 years old and she's at her friend's house that lives across the street, and there, you know, she'd met her friend's mom and everything. They were new to the neighborhood. She'd met the mom, was playing with the friend in the basement, and she was like, her friend said, don't go yet, like my stepdad's gonna be here and you can meet him. And Grace was like, you have a stepdad? And she was like, yeah. And Grace was like, well, how's that possible, like I already met your mom. And boys, Grace, until she was 9 years old, thought having a stepdad meant your dad married another man. Yeah. Like that awesome. Was yeah. That was just like, no, none of us, Heather, Jeremy, none of us explained to her stepdad is just anybody that, like, we never defined what it meant. We just assumed because we're like, everybody knows what a stepdad is.
Right.
You gotta love the innocence of that. That's fantastic.
We never knew that story until last week. She shared. Really? We had done a pride video on TikTok, and Grace shared it without us knowing, and wrote this really beautiful post, but included that story in it. And I was at Save On Foods in lineup, reading it with tears streaming down my face, half from like how beautiful the post was, but the other half being like, how did we never tell her what stepdad meant?
It's always amazing the different stories that children can remember that you have. Like I've talked about stories with my dad or my mom or something like that, like I have no idea what you're talking about, and yet that seems like something that I should have remembered. I can't believe like this, you know. It's amazing how different things affect different people in this.
Well, you don't remember watching someone get embarrassed as much as you remember being embarrassed, you know, like that's how memory works half the time. It is one of those, like Grace was embarrassed by not knowing, but we were like, well, I don't fucking know.
So you moved with or when you moved from downtown. And in an area that is very pride friendly, if not, you know, even beyond friendly, having, you know, that we lived in the same area.
Oh, for sure.
You moved to a smaller area that was probably not as pride friendly.
It was great for my stand up.
Yes, fair enough.
There's always a positive. Yeah.
Did Grace ever catch any grief? Being a child,
she always said if she did, it went over her head.
Okay. We,
like, I think first of all, small towns get a bad rap across the country. Hate grows all over the place.
It doesn't matter where. Yeah.
Ladner never ceases to amaze me. Like the church down the street from us had the rainbow flag that got paint thrown on it a couple years ago, and that flag is still up there with the paint on it and a heart around it, and it's signed by, you know, like 1,000 people in the village. I've always just kind of had a take no prisoners attitude to my sexuality. And so we've had it happen once. Once we were with another gay couple in Ladner, and we were walking down the street about 10 years ago, and a car drove by and yelled the F word at us. And I was floored. I was so like, what? Like in Ladner? Yeah. It was
somebody from Surrey driving through, for sure.
100%. 100%. They were down at the fisheries and they were driving home.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was never an issue for me. But also, like, I present very masculine. I'm a big dude. I don't think people are gonna fuck with me. And if they are, good, they'll win. I don't fight. I'd be dead for sure. Like I am one punch away from losing a fight. We've been really lucky. And I think now too, if anything, I'm more concerned now because we're more known in Ladner. We were always kind of known anyways, but definitely more now. But you know what you can do, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, exactly. How did you explain to Grace this situation? Like, I know in your comedy, in one of your comedy specials, you kind of made a joke about it.
Yeah.
She came home and you're like, no. But
we always treated it like, and this is the credit goes to Heather on this one, where it was like, we will explain that people can marry and date either sex. Mm-hmm. And that's that. And so that's that. Like, that's what we did. Heather had more of a conversation about her at the beginning, and then kind of it was an ongoing conversation really throughout, but it wasn't the main topic of conversation. We just wanted her to know that there was never any shame in who we are as a family, and I don't think she ever really felt it either. I think it obviously helped, like when she was a teenager and stuff, like I was touring with Russell Peters and I was on Spun Out and stuff like that. That kind of makes it a little different, maybe, I don't know. But we just tried to take the approach of, you know, like, this is us, man. Like, what is it anybody else's business? And like, Jared was her baseball coach for rep baseball. So like, we were in like high tense situations, like, you know, fucking soccer moms of Tawasin. I'm talking to you, like, Tawasin. It was all you guys, and then just broke Jared and I. Yeah, like they'd all every time we'd go on like up to Kamloops for a tournament, they'd be like, what if we stay in this hotel? And we're like, what if we stay in this motel, motherfuckers?
You know that Tawasin money.
But they were like, we were really lucky. Like everyone really kind of was open arms. That's the thing, that's what I mean. I'm like, this might be a small town, but we're also only 40 minutes outside the city. Who are we kidding, right? Yeah, it's a small community. But everyone seems pretty cool so far.
Yeah. With your traveling abroad, sort of, et cetera, not being around home as much, was there any type of battle from that world? Like, how long stints were you gone for?
The longest I'd ever go, it used to be 10 days. And then it became 18 days. And then we capped it at 21. Like we all were like, 3 weeks is too long. But when I was filming, it was just exhausting because Jared was working full time. Grace is in school and sports. They can't come over here. I'm doing, you know, 80 hour weeks, and to come home for one night and then to go back would be just as exhausting. And I was doing shows. Like I flew home one night to open for Russell Peters at Rogers Arena or GM Place, whatever they call it. And so like I was literally home for 10 hours and it was chaos. Like it was the biggest audience I'd ever performed for before TikTok. Like I just was like, that was 20,000 people. How many 20,000? How many times that go into a million? Jesus. Gonna have a fucking anxiety attack.
50 times, by the way. Yeah.
I gotta go. I gotta go order a pizza. It was tough. It was tough. There was a lot of guilt. I missed out on a lot of shit. And I think that's what the beautiful lesson that Jer and I have taken from this pandemic is that will never happen again. It won't. Like we know, like it, for us, it will, like, families always come first, but now more than ever we're like, okay, well, like, I don't need to be in front of an audience every day. Like, I've learned that over the last year. I'm like, I'm actually less anxious now than I've ever been. And I think being grounded and having a routine and a home and time with both Jer and Grace, like, it feels like it's been like the perfect timing for it. Yeah. Shit for my career for the first half of it, for sure. There was a lot of stress about that. But the second half, I'm like, well, guess we're back.
Now, speaking of anxiety, you've been a pretty open user and advocate of the magic lettuce. And I'm wondering, how did you, because it's a pretty common topic now in parenting, how did you manage that, you know, when you're using it and dealing with a kid and their desire to use it?
It was really like, we kind of hit that one head on because when Grace was 12, we just sat her down and we're like, listen, your friends have probably Googled me. You've probably seen stuff on YouTube. And this was like, this was the ego blow of a lifetime because she was like, no. It's like, you've never looked me up. Fuck you. You're grounded. You have like 6 hours of YouTube videos of mine to watch.
Your punishment.
excuse me. Because I have rheumatoid arthritis, I wasn't always a pothead. I wasn't even a pothead when I met Jer. It was after I started taking this, like I always enjoyed it, but I really dove into it when I was about 24. And it was innocently enough. I was on this medication called methotrexate, which is a diluted version of chemotherapy. And my dad and I were doing this to see if it would help our arthritis. It did. I ended up going into remission for like 10 years. But the side effect was I was nauseous all the time. And so I got a medical marijuana license 16 years ago, I want to say 15 years ago. And so that's how it started. So when Grace was 12, we were just like, listen, like, you know, if you ever watch this stuff, you're going to see that I talk about smoking marijuana. Do you know what marijuana is? And so we just had the frank discussion and we said, you know, like when the time comes that you want to try this, we'll have that conversation with you. And that's how it went. Like we suspected it when she was like 16 that she was trying it, and she swore up and down she wasn't. And when she was ready to dive in, you know, like we were there to be good parents and educate her and make sure she was safe and not be hypocrites, because I was younger than her when I first tried it, and it would have been a lot easier on me if I actually knew what the fuck I was doing and knew what to expect. So I think, you know, education, but also we've always just talked to Grace logically and with facts and let her kind of decide what to do with that information.
So did you take that as an approach for most things? Like the whole, let's just talk about it and be frank about it. Like, you know, sex and drinking and all those sorts of things.
Was just
head on conversation.
Jer always says, you never have to wonder what I'm talking about. You know, like I'm pretty blunt and I appreciate it. And maybe it's because of my ADHD, which I'm still more, you know, I was very late diagnosed with ADHD. It was only in the last like 4.5 years and really only like seeking treatment in the last 2 years. But knowing now more about myself and my own personality and diagnosis and stuff, things have to be quick to keep my attention. Even just finishing this fucking sentence, I can zone out any second. I'm like, don't do
you're
it.
You're running out of dopamine.
I am. I appreciate blunt conversations because it's quick, it's to the point, it's, you know, like logical and factual, and then I can think about it in my own way. So yeah, we just kind of took that approach. I did. It wasn't always something Jer agreed with, you know, especially, you know, like when it came to sex and stuff. I think, you know, sex is a healthy thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, as long as you are taking precautions emotionally, physically, mentally, that's what's important, you know.
Did it ever blow up in your face being that frank and open with it? Like,
no, not so much then, more now. she can see through the bullshit if we try not to be blunt with her.
Right.
You know, like right now, my mom is going through chemo for breast cancer, and you know, 5 years ago we probably would have tried to have kept that from Grace a little bit. And this time we were like, yeah, we're gonna have Charlie a lot more, and she's like, what's going on, like, right. Who's sick, and we were like, and she was, don't fuck with me, who's sick, and so we were like, okay, you know, like, here's the deal. And she, I don't even think she even had to pull our teeth that much with it, but it was, she definitely knew instantly. She was like, okay, my turn to be blunt.
In terms of creating that sort of open relationship, etc., you know, do you have any insights into the people, parents out there that are looking? Because I think that's an important part overall of being able to have that, like, just nice conversation about being trustworthy and like, yeah, it's okay to tell us that something's going on.
I think it's hard because, you know, there's definitely things she never told us that she was going through. So please take everything with a grain of salt. We are fucking far from perfect. Watch 3 TikToks and tell me that I should be giving advice.
Flawed Dad podcast.
Yeah, remember? Our first viral on TikTok was a story about how we left her at IKEA in the ball pit and didn't realize until we had come home and we're halfway through putting together a coffee table. And we're like, oh fuck, she's still at IKEA. But that was on Jer too.
Do you have part E3? Oh no!
That's our daughter.
Yeah, exactly. I think when you're, and maybe this is just because I communicate for a living, that I've learned that if you are uncomfortable talking to someone about something, then they are not going to be comfortable telling you something about that subject. And especially guys like us, like men, we think everything is so fucking fragile. Every woman on this planet at some point, well, most women experience their periods, and you know, like, that part of it has to be shame-free. That is a way of life. There is no, oh, you got your period, amazing, like, you're becoming a woman, I'm so sorry, this is part of it, you know. And like when Grace got hers, that was basically the conversation. And like, you know, tell us if you need anything, it's gonna be a wild ride.
I've never understood why dads get ashamed or flustered with that, or even the going in and buying tampons. It's like, when you get to the till, it's not like they're assuming it's for you.
Yeah. Well,
right.
It's exhausting because it's a wall of intimidation.
That's exactly what it is. That's what I was going to go to.
Oh, man, yeah. No,
I have gone to try and buy something. I'm like,
I am mixed no idea pack and you're here. Good.
Like, it is.
No, I think the difference is like, I'm masculinity is a fucking bitch, you know. We're raised by, you know, especially like, how old are you guys?
38.
Okay, so we're all of similar age. We were raised in a different time. Like, you know, corporal punishment was still like sort of a thing.
Yes, it was.
We all know when to flinch. Yeah. You know, like it,
when the wooden spoon comes out.
Right. My dad used to sit at the dinner table with a paint stick. And I would have to sit beside him. And when I got out of line, I'd get like a whack on the shoulder. And one time when I was a teenager, I thought I bested him. I went and broke all the paint sticks in the house. And he came to dinner. My dad, I love him to bits. He had a dark sense of humor and has one still, sorry. He came to the dinner table and just fucking flops a baseball bat on the dinner table and just smirks at me like, oh, yeah. you think you got me? You know, like, let me tell you something. So it was, I think, back to the question, though, it is a weird thing that guys are so uncomfortable about all that shit, but it's also part of being masculine, you know, like, it's just gross and I don't want to deal with it. And it's like, okay, cool, but needed in women.
I feel like part of it, especially for dads, you can lean towards like, uh-oh, like, you're actually, oh, this is happening now. Like,
oh,
it's a surefire sign. Like, oh, I guess we're getting into womanhood here. Now I have to worry about this stuff. Like,
oh,
before
and
I
it's
live
terrifying.
In the clouds.
Oh, for sure. Jer was the most heartbreaking thing in the world because he just like went and was like, I could see the Disney princess in his eye, right? Just, like disappearing. Like, oh no, here it comes. You know. But again, we're really lucky because we're super close to her still. And like, that's the scary thing about parenting is they can hit 18 and never talk to you again, you know? So it's that fine balance of, I've got to give you some proper life experience, but at the same time, I don't want you to hate me. So
that's right. So being that we're novices and haven't hit the glory days, as you call it, of expecting wise.
You guys are still the roller coaster at the very beginning. Creeping up, creeping up.
You have no idea how depressing that is for me.
Yeah, like, that's right. It's something to look forward to. So with that, any insights into the fathers out there that are going up the roller coaster, preparing for the...
let them have emotions, you know, like one of the things that some dads like to do is like, you know, try and lighten the mood all the time. And you would think that would be me, but I honestly would be like, I know a hard audience and a teenage girl. There is no one meaner than a teenage girl. It's true. Like, they can kill you with a look. There were several times where I was like, I think I need stitches.
Find the soft spot.
Let them, you know, like when they need, I'm not saying like, don't let them be sad all the time. Obviously, like, they're, you want to monitor, but if there is a day where they just need to be angry, let them be angry. We have to let people feel, you know, like, that's, there are a lot of adults with suppressed emotions that are causing more problems for society today than ever before, because we were told, especially men are raised to not emote, you know, like, I will cry at a fucking commercial, I'll cry at watching two birds fight, you know, like, it's taken me a long time to be okay with that, with feeling a range and not just, you know, being like suppressing everything inside. But I think letting your kids feel and emote and communicate when they're upset.
I grew up in a pretty traditional WASP family, so feeling was not something that you were allowed to do.
Yeah,
it's like, No, you bury that deep down inside, put the lid on the jar, you put it on the shelf, and you wait for that shelf to collapse. And then you feel it all at once, and you go on a murderous rampage.
Fucking shelf collapse! Yeah. Oh yeah, no, you know, there's a lot of people that just put it in a box and put it in the closet, and eventually they burn the closet to the ground. I'm much more of a release the pressure when you need it to kind of kid. I think that's a big one for me, is just, you know, like, it's terrifying. You know, and there's sometimes you don't have the patience for it. But the other thing is, like, no, none of us have a fucking clue. Our parents, our parents didn't have a, they had less of a fucking clue, you know, and they didn't give a shit either. Like, that's the difference. They were just like, you just fucking deal with it, you know,
just survive. That's all, that's all I'm responsible
get
for.
By. So yeah, I think, I think I rest my case.
So one of the questions that we ask our guests, just to kind of end out the interview, is there something that you did as a stepdad that you absolutely hated doing, but you did it anyways because you knew it was the right thing to do?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I think pushing French immersion is probably, I know that doesn't sound very, it's tough. Again, we know my memory is shit. I am sure if Jaron Grace were listening, they'd be screaming suggestions. No, I think I can't, I'm not one to spend a lot of time regretting things because I'm too busy in this brain. But there are definitely times that I wish that I was a little more. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I'm taking all this back. I wish I was more emotionally stable and available even when she was younger. But we were dealing with so much all the time and there's no excuse. But I definitely had a much worse temper when I was a lot unhappier, you know, like I suffered depression and it wasn't being treated. I was also having rheumatoid arthritis, which is also being an autoimmune disease, affects your emotions, and undiagnosed celiac was a nightmare. But man, I kept that KFC in Ladner in business. Did you not? I got diagnosed celiac and that KFC closed. Like, I was convinced that I was.
And you kept the plumber going too. At the
same time. That's true. But all those are all excuses that I can now look back on with time and understand, like, okay, it wasn't all just bad choices as a parent, like losing your temper and stuff. But it also, yeah. And I also wish I talked quieter. Jaron Grace's whole family, like everybody on there, they all like are calm and quiet and not excitable. So they never knew if I was yelling or just talking to them, you know, like I was just like, I just asked you to pass the ketchup. Like, why are you fucking crying? Just pass the ketchup. You know, and
no, like, why, you have the ketchup.
Why are you yelling at me? It's like, I'm just telling you what I want. You know? Like,
yeah. Well, one of the things that we talk about almost every podcast is about anger ultimately, and just the constant fight, because there are always moments in time where you could look back and go, boy, you know, I would like to do over there because I did not handle that nearly as well. I lost my mind on, and everyone's losing their mind is different. It's all a spectrum, but you know, the base level versus a higher level, it's all like, you know, I wish I maybe didn't do that. Do you have any thoughts about how you sort of control that snap, because it's that in the moment thing that's so hard to suppress, I find.
That's the thing that I have learned is that I'm not allowed to react to things right away. Like, I need time to process it, and that's really taken a long time to figure out, to be like, I have to process. Like, that is literally like, it's coming, but I'm going to, okay, I need to put my thoughts together, because it's fucking terrifying being responsible for a living thing,
right.
Let alone a human being. Like, no one deserves it. It's the scariest, weirdest thing that we all collectively go through and don't really talk about, you know, which is what is great about what you guys are doing. There's also just going to be times where the human psyche reacts to shit and you have to forgive yourself. You know, like, you have to seek forgiveness sometimes from, you know, someone that you hurt, but at, you know, like, asking someone to forgive you is something you're not in control of. So processing things afterwards and being like, okay, like, I can learn from this. And now, mind you, if you do it every fucking time and you're like, but I forgive myself this time, that's a bigger story. There, do you guys remember that book? It was so cheese, but it, like, I read it, my dad had it. I read it when I was like 12 and was like, wow, the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
It's, I remember it.
It was like a Reader's Digest kind of like phenomenon back then. And it was Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And it's all small stuff. When you, it's the Google Earth thing, you know, like go on, when you're really upset about something, go and type your address where you are standing on Google Earth and zoom in and then just fucking zoom, zoom, zoom out. And when you see how tiny we all are, it's all small stuff. It's all bullshit.
That's good. What a nice way to end. Really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, no worries.
An absolute blast.
No, this was great. It was really nice to meet you, and I love that you guys are doing this. It's great. I wish it was around.
I wish it was when I was when my kids were a little bit younger too. Maybe I wouldn't have fucked them up so bad. We'll post all your social media stuff, TikTok, Instagram, those sorts of things on in the show notes. But it's at Darcy Michael.
It's at the Darcy Michael.
At the Darcy Michael.
Yeah, for everything.
Perfect. And then they can find your specials on Netflix, right?
No, just go on there. Crave in Canada, and in the States it's a partnership with Facebook Watch and YouTube of all things. It's the weirdest fucking thing. I hate it. But yeah, they even if you just link my website, it'll take them to all the places.
Perfect.
Just shoot me an email when it goes out so I can find the post, because everywhere is chaos on socials right now. But if you guys have my email, so I'll definitely see that before I see
DMs. So for everybody who's listening, please make sure that you go and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, and go follow Darcy. Thanks so much, Darcy.
It's well worth your time, for sure.
Thanks, guys.